Hey, and welcome to the latest issue of the Three Old Geeks podcast. I am joined again by the members of our gladiatorial games. First of all, the Keeper of the Inner Sanctum, the Numbers Guy, no longer the Ruinator, but yet the Contrarian, Keithio Comicus. Keithio, how are you today?
Ruinator may be back. We'll see Ooh. What happens today. Return of the Ruinator.
Oh, I know why. And of course, the man who's always wrong with the whole in his collection, the Clown Prince of Collecting, the Pictures Guy, and the Dirty Old Geek, Brianicus Unum Opus. Brian, how are you?
You know what? There was a fucking salute that I was going to... And I can't remember it. Hail Caesar.
For those who are about to die, we salute you?
Yes! That was the one. Oh, yeah, good. For those who are about to die, we salute you.
Wow.
Okay. And I am, of course, the world's oldest kid sidekick. I am the words guy. I am, of course, Lancia Lucianus the Younger.
Oh.
I was working on this one, boys. And I only have one thing to say. Trog! And welcome to another issue. Brianicus, do you have news from the arena?
I do. One of the big, you know what, I don't know how far this is really going to go, but people are drawing lines now. So Netflix, Warner Brothers has sold a DC product to Netflix, has licensed a DC product to Netflix. What people are saying is that if DC is willing, or if Warner Brothers is willing to license out its characters to Netflix, Netflix having a really good relationship with Zack Snyder, we may see a return to the Snyderverse. As in Elseworlds.
Yay. Oh, sorry.
Well, you know what? For a lot of people, Snyderverse was... I really enjoyed his cut of the Justice League movie.
It was way too long.
And, well, I... No, okay. Everybody's entitled to their own personal opinion. Yeah.
Well, I'm not alone.
Yeah, tons of
I'm not saying you are.
There was a lot of people. So suddenly there's a new push.
Okay, so this is just the only thing that you've heard is that Netflix has gotten a DC character off of Warner Brothers, a license for it.
Yes,
and it's one character.
No, it was a show, The Dead Boys or some shit like that. Yeah, so no, they've actually got
Dead Boy Detective.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
it's a Neil Gaiman thing. So
yeah.
They've worked with Neil Gaiman and Sandman, which they already had Sandman, which was a DC
Which they already had the Sandman,
which was a DC thing, too.
Right, but the fact that at this point, after the James Gunn deal, that they're willing to license to Netflix a DC property.
Well, like they already did, like you said, Sandman.
Right, but that was prior to.
Oh, okay.
That was prior to the James Gunn. Once James Gunn came in, they cut everything off.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that, but there were a lot of things that were canceled.
He talked about a bunch of shit. I didn't
but he talked about the 10 things. It was the things that were canceled immediately when they announced that deal. There was a Batman animated series that was canceled.
That was Bruce Tim led. Yeah.
Yes. Fuck the Batgirl canceled.
Well, that's canceled way before him. A Batwoman, sorry.
The Batgirl movie?
Yeah, that was canceled way
before. Right, but it wasn't way before. And you knew that were...
No, it's because they said it was unwatchable.
Right, I know what they said, and I understand that. What I am saying is that it was in the realm of James Gunn taking over. A lot of that shit happened. It's not like they decided Monday morning, hey, you know what would be great if somebody could take over our entire film division? Hey, I know, James Gunn, let's do it. No, I mean, that was in process, and he probably said these things have to go.
Could be. Ask him when you see him.
I will. Okay. I will.
Or ask his brother. His brother's at all the shows.
Yeah, I will. Ask him.
I dare you.
Fucking ask him. Anyway, there's just a push. It's a rumor. It's fun. Mr. Ruinator. Jesus Christ.
Told you. Return to Ruinator. 4-hour movies? Are you kidding me?
What?
That freaking Justice League thing.
That was good.
Nah, it was okay.
It was fun. And it split it up so that you... It was supposed to be a series, which is what everybody's hoping for with the relationship they have with Zack Snyder right now. Because he's got something coming out.
I was about to say, what's he done with Netflix? He's got something coming out.
He's got something coming out. Okay. That's a big deal.
Actually, they Army of the Dead came out on Netflix.
Army of the Dead came out, but he's got another one. Oh. It's a sci-fi.
Oh, that's, yeah, no, I have to saw something.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch 2.
Oh, that'd be a great one. As we all slice our wrists. Yeah. Across, you're just playing. Up, down, up, down.
I'll throw a ball and leave my dog out in the desert so you can come back and take care of
it. Fetch and fuck. Yeah, that's what I got. Oh, let's just throw out a couple because we did have a couple passings this week of note. Bernie Mattinson. Who's Bernie Mattinson?
Who's Bernie Mattinson?
Bernie Mattinson is the longest employee that Disney had. He worked for Disney for 70 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He started his as an animator on Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, damn.
And worked all the way up until last year's Strange World.
Holy cow.
That's probably when his soul died and decided to follow it.
He did what?
Strange World. Have you watched it?
No, I have
okay.
not.
Okay. That's when his soul died and he followed it.
And this is a big one for you, Lance, Rico Browning.
Yes.
Yes.
The last cast member of Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And the last
Universal Monster.
Universal Monster.
And the last Universal Monster. And he was the stunt diver.
Yes.
If I was not mistaken. Yes. He was the guy who could hold his breath for 5 minutes at a time or whatever because they didn't want air bubbles coming out of the top of the costume or whatever. So, yeah, Rico Browning, definitely. And then, unfortunately, I don't know if you heard, Tom Sizemore was hospitalized with a brain hemorrhage. We lost him,
dead,
too.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And I had occasion to quote, not exactly quote, but with my current work-life status, it was, I never wanted to be Tom Hanks. I wanted to be Tom Sizemore in Saving Private Ryan. So.
Ah.
All right, so for this week's edition of the world famous, and I have the data to prove it, Thrill Geeks top three list, gentlemen, with 15 minutes on the timer. What are the top three historical events you wish you could have been at? Mine, I will warn you right now, I took some liberties with this one. And go!
Okay. So number three for me.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have been standing next to the guy at the Hindenburg disaster.
Oh, when he's making
that. Recording
that. Recording it.
Yeah. That would have. Oh, the humanity. That would have been.
You've been heckling in the background.
Dude, it's not that big of a deal.
Come on. Take a picture. It'll last longer.
Exactly. But the Hindenburg.
They're going to be all right. Roll on the ground.
Yeah, roll on the ground.
You're right. Let go of the rope. Let go of the rope. Oh, yours is cheery. suggested by my wife, and I went, that would be cool. I would have liked to have been there to hear the Gettysburg Address.
Oh.
Wow. The considered the great one of the greatest speeches in the history of the planet.
Yes,
yeah, that's actually a pretty.
It'd be kind of because everyone knows 47 years ago, but to hear the whole thing and hear the way he inflected as he was saying it and get crowd reaction to it would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So okay.
Wow.
Take your liberties.
Mine are going to be trite compared to these. I will begin by saying it's well known that I am a car guy. I was born in 1970, considered the greatest year for muscle cars ever. I wish I could have been of driving age in 1970. And if we're doing, you know, fantasy booking here, bought a 1970, you know, GTO Rammer 4 convertible Judge or something like that, packed it in ice, and then, you know, had it for the modern era so I could take it to a car show because 1970, any car in the 1970s, even the, like, regular passenger cars are 10 times cooler than anything that is out right now, at least in my personal opinion.
I'd say more than 10 times, but okay.
Nobody's going to remember, hey, remember that 1990, Beretta or whatever? There's not going to be that.
My old 80-something Yugo. No, sorry.
God, I had a Ford Escort in 92.
You had to crank it up.
Yeah. Okay, so number two for me is...
I'm excited about your number two.
Right.
That sounds bad, but...
You're the cleverator. So, as we all know, I'm a huge Tudor fan. I would have loved to have been alive at the death of Edward VI, who was King Henry VIII's son, who was a Protestant, and he wanted to make sure that the succession to the throne was Protestant. As we all know, his sisters were Catholic, and so he passed on the line of succession to Lady Jane Grey, who was the queen for 9 days. And that, I think, would have been an interesting 9 days to have been in London to see how that whole played out. Because she was Bloody Mary 1.
The prequel?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She was the 9 days queen.
That is so deep and full of more knowledge than I'll ever have. So mine's going to be seen. Mine's good. I'm going to lance mine.
Ooh.
I would have loved to have been at the 1964 New York Comic Con, which was the first Comic Con ever. It's the only one Ditko ever went to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh. And Kirby and Lee were there. Siegel was, I guess, guest of honor. They had an art auction where they sold pages from Fantastic Four number one. And they went for $6. So.
Oh, my God.
I'd have to give me some 1950s money, but yeah. I'll take them all.
Yeah. Whole book. Yeah.
$100. Anyway.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So, and the 1970s first San Diego Comic-Con, which was known as Golden State Comic-Con.
Like the Golden State Killer.
Exactly.
Or the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, I guess them too. But it would be cool. There were only 300 people that showed up to that one.
So it would have been good.
Wow. That would have been.
But again, Kirby and Lee were there. Ray Bradbury was there.
Jesus.
Just much cool. In fact, the 64 Comic-Con, which was before I was born, George R.R. Martin... 15-year-old George R.R. Martin was the first one to sign up for that con. First wow. one to get the ticket. To sign up to get a ticket for it.
Okay, yeah, that's so you could, pretty could, freaking could've... awesome.
That's fucking
so,
cool.
So just as a geek, that is got to be on my list.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize he was that old. But that, I guess, is why they keep saying he's going to die soon.
Yeah, die before he does another book, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your number two?
My number two, I would like to travel back to New York City on October 30th, 1938, and actually see the reaction to War of the Worlds.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
It's so shrouded in kind of some stuff happened, some stuff was bullshit.
Yeah, it,
you know, people committed suicide. I really want to be there to see, was it, did it live up to the hype?
It's almost like a fable. Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's an urban legend. Yeah,
it's like an urban legend where it's, you don't know what's real, you don't know what's real. I have a feeling there was some panic because I've heard the broadcast and it was, you know.
Fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. But I want to see if it lived up to the hype.
No, that's a great
one. That's a good one, yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Oh, man, yeah. Mine?
What's your number one?
I would have loved to have been in Dealey Plaza.
That's kind of a no-brainer for you.
I knew that was...
On the grassy knoll.
Looking around. You're just like this all day. Okay.
I would have been looking at everything. Yeah, exactly. Why is the guy going all spastic in the grassy knoll? It's a Bruder film.
You get arrested. You get arrested before before anything happens. You're looking twitchy.
Yeah, you're looking twitchy.
Yeah, that would have been the grassy knoll. I probably would. You know what? I think I probably would have missed everything. At the moment of the assassination, it would have just been, oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. But, okay, would you go there with the knowledge, like go there
to try to figure out
What went on, or just to be part of that you know moment in history?
You know what? Like I said, I think my initial would be to try to figure out what was going on.
And you miss everything.
I think I would miss everything just being in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you know that's coming. That you know how do you not run to stop it?
Yeah, you want to stop it, but you also couldn't take your eyes off.
Right, that's what I mean. I would not have been able, but to be alert enough to hear where did the shot come from, So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I figured that was going to be your number one. I thought about that one. I also thought it would be kind of cool to figure out who Jack the Ripper is.
I'm pretty confident in that one.
Yeah, I know. You met him. And
he was a nice guy.
My number one is not long after the Ripper.
Though we could talk about that.
Okay. I would have liked to have gone to 1893 Columbia Fair. Just see the spectacle as they built up all that land down by lake.
The White City.
You know, the first Ferris wheel. There's so many firsts that came out of that. Just to be around people who are marveling at shit I've seen already. and to see what was there. Because, you know, most of that stuff's gone. I mean, they had like recreations of the Columbus's ships there.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much stuff when you start looking into it.
In Galena, they have probably the last thing left. Because one of the houses, the Japanese exhibit, was taken down and was put up in at Lake Galena.
Okay.
Lake Geneva.
Okay.
And so now it was taken down. It's gotten old, but it's in the museum. So we had gotten there just as they were setting up that exhibit.
Oh, really?
Wow. So we got to touch it. And
yeah, it just would have been so cool to see all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then know that H.H. Holmes.
I was just going to say, don't say it. H.H. Holmes' hotel,
I would
dude.
Not stay. Yeah, exactly.
You just want to give him a buck. You're about to fuck everything up from this point on, but enjoy it now. You masturbatory freak. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, that'd be something we would say to a serial killer.
I know what you're doing.
All right. I'm going to lance my number one. I would have liked to been in the first audiences to see Citizen Kane.
Wow.
Because everybody, you know, now it's considered, oh, it's this classic masterpiece. It broke so many, like, it established so many things that we take for granted in movies nowadays.
Yes.
It broke the cast of things that have been, I mean, the...
Exactly, like, you never saw a ceiling.
Yeah, it was the first film you saw a ceiling. Yeah.
You know, it was an indictment of this guy who would have been, like, Donald Trump or something like that.
He was 26.
And he was 26 when he made this fucker. I don't know, just to be a part, that part of cinema history, you know, I always try to look at whenever I watch a movie, like, man, what would have been like, it been like seeing this for the first time if you had been used to everything that had come out beforehand, and the essentially the first modern movie, like the first time seeing that, I mean, it wasn't even a big hit at the time. It's kind of gone, with the benefit of history, it's considered this great class now, but at the time it wasn't even that big of a deal. Other than Hearst being involved with it and all this other stuff.
How cool would it have been, like, be on set, be around it, to watch him make
Just to be around a 26-year-old Orson Welles just doing whatever the fuck he wanted, you know?
I would say he's probably just a pretentious prick.
I would think so, too, but also a genius at the same time, and most geniuses are pretentious pricks.
I mean, he married Rita Hayworth and destroyed her career.
So what's your other land?
My other one is deeply personal. I would like to travel back to June of 1988 And instead of going to my fucking prom, which I had a fucking terrible time at, my date was a total fucking bitch, I instead would have took my buddy's offer like, hey, I've got an extra ticket to Monsters of Rock, which is one of the last times that fucking David Lee Roth ever performed with fucking Van Halen.
Okay.
So there's that.
But you'd have a whole, like, Back to the Future problem with that. You can run into yourself, you know.
No, because I wasn't at the concert, so if I was at the concert, I wouldn't run into myself at my lame-ass fucking prom! What else do we got?
Wow. You know, the obvious one for me was, and I thought about it, and I thought long and hard about this, was the crucifixion. And the reason that I said no, it's not in my top three, as much as I would like to be there, I like to have faith.
Okay, yeah. See, I was thinking Last Supper.
And mine is actually 2 points of military history, except I would have been one of the guys getting shot. What? No, seriously, the raising of the flag on Matsurabachi in Iwo Jima, or the greatest line in the fucking history of America is when the American army was besieged at the in the forest of Bastogne. And the German general asked for their surrender, and fucking, it's Lucian, I forget his last name, but the general in command at the time said, tell him nuts.
Yeah.
What a, like, dude, I would be sitting there like going, yeah, general, fucking you tell this guy, and then I get a bullet in the fucking head. Yeah.
Then poof, take me back. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to put myself in anywhere where
that's what I was thinking. Is like any kind of military kind of engagement, I would not want to be there because I would have been one of the first guys killed.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it would have been fun to be like at Bull Run when at picnicking with the people to see because they came out to picnic to watch the battle and how badly that went. It would have been interesting.
Yeah, I stayed away from all that stuff. I thought about all those. I'm like, how? But yeah, I don't want to be anywhere where I could possibly be killed.
Yeah, I
That's why I'm in a comic store.
Yeah, oddly enough, all of mine were where people die, but...
Yeah. Well, Kathy wanted to... She goes, I would like to be in there September 11th so I could help people. I'm like, what are you going to do? Seriously.
Yeah.
The building comes down. What are you doing, sweetheart? You're not... I love her to
running
death, but,
through but, an hour before going leave
and they're gonna listen to you she like I would like to be able to help people. Yeah, I get that, but
you wouldn't.
It's
Brandon, you look like you're gonna say something.
Yes.
I think it would be kind of cool to see, like, to be there for when they crack, like, the Enigma code, or even to be in the room with, like, Winston Churchill and all that in the war room.
Cool to see that kind of mind working, yeah.
To be there at 2 in the morning when they discovered the Titanic. Yeah. That would have been a pretty awesome... I mean, they got it on film, so it's not as cool.
But... Yeah.
And even more dead people.
Oh, there's more dead... Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, yeah.
Don't forget... And, yeah, the Grim Reaper over here.
There's a great picture of Oppenheimer and Einstein talking. Oh. And there was a photographer there through the whole, and he said, I was listening, and I had no idea what they were talking about, and finally it just dawned on me, well, you're a photographer, take a fucking picture.
And with that, we're going to close this one out. That was our top 3 historical events that we would have liked to have been at. Let us know what yours are. All right, so the podcast is about to get a lot worse, because we have hit number 14 on Tubi's list of the worst movies ever. And that is 1970, Trog, directed by Freddie Francis, written by Peter Bryan, John Gilling, and Aben Candell. And famously, the last movie for movie star Joan Crawford, also starring Michael Goh, who was Alfred in the Burton Batman movies, and Bernard Kay.
Wow. And he's just as happy to know as he was in this.
And you can make a comparison to Planet of the Apes, in that Planet of the Apes was lauded for its wonderful ape makeup that won an Academy Award. Roddy McDowall, you know, groundbreaking stuff. And compared to that, this really sucked.
This was leftover from Stanley Kubrick's 2001. That's where they got the
space.
Looked
like, yeah.
And I thought it was actually done pretty well.
I thought it totally sucked.
Oh, I thought it was done pretty well for a B movie. I expected the effects to be much, much worse. And actually, the mask showed emotion. It moved.
I will spot you that they left the eyes and mm-hmm. whoever the guy who was playing the Trog or whatever did a pretty good job of emoting through his eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not defending it. No. Well, no, it was basically just like the missing link was a man's body with an ape's head.
Yes.
And,
yes. And,
all this gave us Iceman later on, 1984. It gave us Encino Man, 1992. I'm all good with it.
I thought that the biggest sin of this movie was that it was just absolutely boring.
Oh, it was. The first 10 minutes, we're all hearing someone scraping shoes against rocks.
You know, I...
you fucking kid. Get down there already. I'm here. How are you? I'm over here.
I am guilty of watching many of the YouTube caving horror story videos. So it was actually kind of interesting to me to see spelunking in the 70s and why so many people died.
Because of hidden cavemen? Here. Was there a lot of cavemen murders?
No, there was, hey, we're jumping in the water. We're going down. We're going to go check it out. Yeah. We're going to go see. Yeah, no, we don't need to. Let's get in our underwear in the freezing water. Let's just go ahead and do that.
I think it leads somewhere. I'm not sure.
It might slope down. Well, I'll just go as far as I can. I won't. Don't worry about me. Yeah, I'll be all right. Don't worry. Hold my beer. What I will
that
say...
would explain more if they had beer.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know why they're doing this.
Well, look at that. Danny's about to discover something. I'm jumping in the water, too.
They're just trying to get away from the wives.
Yeah, Derek going, I ain't jumping in the water.
It's cold.
It's cold. And then he couldn't get his clothes off fast enough at the end. We've got to go! I thought that beginning scene... was so completely homoerotic that it just made me laugh. He strips down to his fucking boxers to jump in the freezing water and then climbs out and gets attacked by Trog. The what? And then they kept showing him in the light and then he was hired specifically for that, for stripping down to his underwear. He was one of those the bods. At the time. And so he was specifically hired and brought into the film to strip down to his underwear and get wet.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did his job, and he did it well. He looked like a Bern Hogarth drawing. My God.
Larry Palmer's Doc Savage.
Bern Hogarth's Tarzan. And that Joan Crawford had to be drunk to say her lines without losing her shit. And she seemed like it.
Bring me my tranquilizer gun.
Bring me my hypo gun. Where's my hypo gun? Grab me my hypo gun.
He's gentle. He's trying to bring me my hypo gun.
Love the fucking German Shepherd.
Play with the doll.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was just boring. It was boring.
Oh yeah, no, this one I found myself checking my emails, checking the Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
And then turning back, oh yeah, something sort of is happening, and then I miss a lot of this movie. And then all of a sudden...
you get the Frankenstein scene where it grabs the girl. It's like, what?
What? Yeah. Oh, because she looked like the doll.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, and then I turn around and all of a sudden there's all this stop... like, it looked like
Willis O'Brien special effects.
Oh yeah, the
I was trying to find the movie that they clipped
1955's. I've got it.
Look at research, Brian.
Well, you know what? The funny thing, and
was that 1 million years BC? It wasn't 1 million. No, that was 1 million years BC. Was like 63 or whatever.
Yeah, no, this was. It was a 1950s. Shit. Now I'm on a whole different one.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
But
yeah, there was like to reinforce that cavemen lived at the same time as dinosaurs, which everybody knows is bullshit.
Well, you know what? And I kept watching it, and I kept thinking, okay, so the 50s, because one of the things that interests me in life is that what they were teaching children in the 50s has obviously changed from what they taught us in the 70s and the 80s to versus what they teach kids now. The T-Rex fighting the Stegosaurus, the T-Rex is actually closer to man than he was to the Stegosaurus. That's 80 million years between those two.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know that. The Brontosaurus to the T-Rex, which they also showed, was 50 million years. So between the Stegosaurus and the... So obviously those two never met, nor was there ever... Was there an apex predator that looked like the T-Rex during the time of the Brontosaurus? Nor did they ever find anything that would lead them to believe that these were ever attacked by an apex predator. Which doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just... The Triceratops, however, and the T-Rex lived at the same time. And they do have the
fossils.
They
fight the most times.
They have an actual fossil set of a T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus battle that happened where they both actually died at the same time. So that, but I was laughing as I was watching that going, I know that these animals did not walk the earth at the same time. I did not realize that it was that 80 million years. But it could really only have been like 3 weeks compared to some of the cult teachings. That made me giggle. That made me giggle. But I did, that was an entire acid trip in the middle of the film. Yeah. Were they recording that?
I don't know.
Yeah, where it wasn't projected. It's like...
Was it just trying to portray that this was Trog's memories or something like that?
This is
like
what he was remembering.
And then I thought, Trog has a great editor. Because he didn't remember all in one spot.
He's a little fucking man. What do you expect?
So at the end, he gets riddled by machine gun fire by the army.
Worst shots ever.
Yes.
By the way.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
He's throwing rocks at him. And throwing rocks at him.
They're 6 feet away from him. There's nine of them with machine guns, 6 feet away from this thing, and
it
it's throwing rocks. And he's running around, and
he's
they keep missing
moving.
Him.
It's not even. It's not like the Flash. He's just like going over, pick up a rock, throw it, pick up a rock.
And they keep missing him.
And he falls over. Well, that's, you know, it was like, yeah, they kept missing him because he gets impaled on a stalactite. You know, you think like they would just gun him down as part of the story or something. Like they've like, you know, modern technology versus,
yes,
you know, the primitive ape
primitive
or whatever.
Man.
But
the missing link. He can
this
talk.
This one actually deserved to be in the spot just because it was so damn boring.
It was slow.
Yeah.
Boring.
I Yes. Yeah, that's all I thought, you know what, it's they've done a decent acting job, though. Joan Crawford for her last film. And I love that somebody pointed out, you know, that where she walks away from the press at the end was her walking away from Hollywood because she never did another film.
This is where my life's gone.
Yes, and she absolutely disavowed this film, hated it. It was the second film she did as a favor to somebody.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure that Betty Davis abso-fucking-lutely loved it. I bet that if you went to Betty Davis's house, she had this one on videotape and played it every night for her friends. Because there was nothing but hatred between those two.
Oh, that's, they did a series on that or whatever.
Oh yeah. You know what, I saw an interview with her, that they were talking, and she said, you know, we only did one film together for all of this hullabaloo that everybody makes. We only did one film, and I should have won the Oscar for it. And she actively
petitioned against
me winning. And I would have been the first person to win three in a three. And she could not have that. She was such a spiteful, jealous, petulant little bitch. Bette Davis was fucking great. Joan Crawford, not so much. But she also cost the film its Oscar. So, yeah, I'm betting Bette Davis just watched this one every night. Cheers to you, Joan! I've got Bette Davis eyes! Boring. Boring as fuck. Yeah, yeah. We've actually been more engaged in talking about the film than the film was.
The film warranted?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The film was not engaging at all.
No, it was hard to, but I like the guy who was the
frog.
No, oh. The guy.
Alfred. What's his name?
Michael Gough.
Was he the guy who played the guy who was against Trog?
Yeah, like kind of like the religious fanatic or something. Oh, you beast!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was Alfred in the Burton.
If you talk one more time, we're going to kick you out.
How very British.
And he's a monster. He's a monster. One more time. One more time you interrupt. He's a monster.
We shan't put up with this.
We shan't put up with this. He's a monster.
You broke Lance.
No, actually, you just made me think of the first comment. This was an extended. This was if it would have been funnier, it would have been an extended Monty Python skit.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Oh, it could have been.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it could have been. This needs to be remade.
Yeah, put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
All right, boys. So, what are we gonna rate Trog here on a B movie scale?
You know what? It got made, and it got made with Joan Crawford. And I don't care what you say about Joan Crawford. She did a good job in this. She really did. Given what she got, she acted like a scientist. Oh, be patient, Dan. Be patient. No wire hangers.
I was waiting for that one.
I kept on looking for hangers in the background.
Yes. So I'm going to give it a 2. Just because it got made and it's Joan Crawford. It's got Hollywood royalty.
So we're rating this in B's, right? Because I give it more Z's than B's, but...
Man, you're clever. No. You're the cleverator. You're not the ruinator. You're the cleverator.
Oh, my God. Brandon, check for a gas leak. What's going on here?
Well, Mr. Cleverator, rate the goddamn movie.
Wow. Are we in a rush? Do we have...
Yes, I'd like to end the segment. We were around 15 minutes talking about this fucking stinker.
I will give it 1.5 Bs.
I will agree with Keith. 1.5 Bs. It's a bit of a novelty seeing Joan Crawford's last movie. Your mileage may vary. Let us know what you think.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, don't let us know.
All right, so we are still on a bit of a Pam Grier bender, because we watched 1974's The Arena, directed by Steve Carver, written by John William Corrington and Joyce Hooper Corrington, and reuniting from Black Mama, White Mama, Pam Grier and Margaret Markov. And this is a pretty solid gladiator movie.
It is.
It's way solid.
It's an ancient prison movie.
Yeah.
It's back in Spartan times. It's a prison movie.
It's another women in chains flick.
Yeah.
Yes, so you have the Roman legions marching across the world and capturing Boadicea, the druidess English woman, and then Mama Maui, the Nubian. Yeah. They take them to... Rome, or they take them to Italy, bare minimum, because this wasn't Rome, and they sell them into slavery. They're serving wenches, and
they're serving in entertainment people.
Yeah, and then you got the whole gladiators get to pick the women the night before they fight or whatever, something like that.
To inspire them,
and there's a bit of a cat fight in the kitchen, and the guy who owns all the gladiators and slaves says, hey, people would pay money to see this.
Basically, yeah.
And they have the female gladiatorial fights. And it turns out to be a bit of a Spartacus deal where, of course, the gladiatrixes, if you will, rebel. And it actually turns out with a better ending in Spartacus because they get away at the end.
Of course they do.
So what do we think of this one, boys?
It was a fun little film.
Wow.
Boadicea, which was obviously Boadica.
Yep.
I don't know if Mamba Wamba was...
it was a real deal.
Was a real deal. Yeah. I don't know about that. I think probably like any male, just incredibly impressed with Pam Grier in this.
I was impressed in one way. How were you impressed?
She'd be one of the most beautiful women.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Stunning. Yeah. Stunning.
Yeah.
They costumed her well.
Unbelievably so.
Yeah. I kind of
they played to her strengths.
Yes. Well, you're being tame on this one,
I would
Ryan.
Love to be her customer.
Yes. She, but both her and Margaret Markoff did all their own stunts.
I was going to say, the thing that impressed the shit out of me the most, I thought they were both freaking, for a 70s gladiator movie, they were both fantastic in the sword fights.
Let's throw another little fun fact in. All of the weapons were real.
Oh, wow.
These were not movie props. These were real swords, real tridents, real spears. Holy shit. These were all fucking real. Nobody got hurt.
Those aren't real light either. Swinging them around for any length of time.
No.
That's how you're out.
The liquor in the party scene?
Was real?
Was real. They really got hammered.
Yeah.
And Steve Carver, there's a whole directorial thing that happened in this film between Italy
and... Yeah, there was like the Italian in Italy, the cinematographer got credited as being the director, and Steve Carver was the quote-unquote English language director.
Yes. Yes. And somebody said that he did these scenes and the other guy did the fight scenes, and Carver had a non-fraternization policy. Margaret Markoff was very attracted to Mark Damon, the executive producer, who reciprocated. They later got married. So, yeah. But this is where they met.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun little fun fact. I thought that the girl who played the drunken girl, who gets killed at the end, they're the last three.
Yeah.
She had a great little bottom. But she also
glad
was in
you're giving your opinion on that.
Yeah, she had a fun little bottom that just kept popping out. I would watch
that
the film again for
fight.
That.
That's what happened when you
fight. But she did a lot of these types of films.
Sword and sandal movies type things?
No, nudity.
No, the nude part.
Yeah, the nude parts.
The bottom part.
She was, the bottom part. She had a cute little bottom, and she got paid well for it. It was a fun little film. It was interesting. Pam Grier was great. I wish that her and Margaret Markoff had made more films together.
Almost looking for like the Pam Grier, Margaret Markoff Western would have been cool, I think. Because we just watched Hannie Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I'm all into women. Well, I've always been into women with guns, but the two of those together, like riding the West, would have been awesome.
Yeah. And they had a great chemistry together. They really did.
In both movies.
Yes. Well, that's what I meant. They were fun together. Yeah. And it's too bad they didn't do more films together. You know, you put some of the little, like the weapons were real. They did their own stunts. This was a pretty decent film.
No, what impressed the heck out of me is, like, the sheer athleticism of both of them. Like, both of them didn't look like women, like, it wasn't like, women aren't used to getting into it. Yeah, it wasn't girls like, it was, they were into it.
Yeah.
You know, there were some interesting parts, I thought, in this film. The rape of Boadicea, early on.
Yeah.
As sick as that was, the reactions of the actors, the male actors, was dead on. I mean, it was sick. And you felt that.
Yeah.
It was a better acted movie than really, I think, that it had...
you thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. Than it had a right to be.
Yeah.
And very subtly. Because those characters never broke from that sick fuck.
Yeah.
They're kind of like
trying to. I think they're coming across with like the perversion of owning people and sending them to their deaths, and you know, doing what they will with them on a whim type of thing.
Yeah, and again, the perversion of just Rome.
Yeah,
any civilization that would pit two people together to watch them die in the ring, where you choose.
It's public entertainment. Yeah,
yeah, it's just entertainment was fucking sick. But they did the same thing to the girl, the Roman one. I am a daughter of Rome. Yeah, oh, we can't have her fight.
Yeah,
yeah. She gets gang raped at the end. Yeah. It seemed to be a thing, but as they're all escaping.
That was one. I was like, wow. That was just a, kind of a background piece, but we'll go with it. Okay,
that's what I was. It's a background piece. It just was a little thing as they were running by. There's a gang rape. Fun. It was well acted, well directed.
I've seen worse Gladiator movies. That's for sure.
Oh God, yeah. The scene where Pam Grier when they, you know, it was kind of a funny little aside to the gladiatorial. You know, all the women fight. Oh, they push each other down and that kind of shit. And everybody laughs. And then that all changed with the. Thumbs down, and she had to kill the girl. And then they shot the arrows.
Yeah, do it or die.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden the tone of the movie changed.
The crowd wants blood, they're going to get it, yeah.
Yeah, and then the one guy, the weapons master. This was just a...
Solid B gladiatorial movie from the 1970s.
Solid movie. I think I mentioned this when we were doing the 70s stuff.
Yeah, you did.
This is when I watched and I liked it then and I still like it.
Yeah, yeah, it was a solid film. Not really for the squeamish. It's not gory.
No, but
it's got
intense situations.
Yeah, intense situations that are not, it changes.
Yes. All right, so what do we think of The Arena then? How are we going to rate this one?
I hate to say on a B movie, but really it's a
B movie.
It's a blaxploitation flick, but I would give it a 4.
Yeah,
4.5.
Yeah, yeah. I say 4.
Yeah, I would give it a 4 definitely.
All right, well, two of our new favorites, new podcast favorites, and well, obviously the great Pam Grier, but Marka Markov's starting to climb up there a little bit.
She did well.
All right, that was The Arena. Give it a watch. Let us know what you think.
Spoiler alert.
All right, so we've been following, I guess you would say, the one of the later Star Wars offerings on the Disney app, and that is The Bad Batch. And it's been a struggle, and finally something happened. So this is episode 11, entitled Metamorphosis. And So we finally find out what happened to the scientists from Kamino. That was at the very end of season one. It was the stinger. She's led into a mountain laboratory or whatever. She's been held in holding, for lack of a better word, in an effort to get her to help with the Empire's cloning efforts. And we find out that the Empire is cloning monsters, specifically fucking kaiju. So I didn't have enough kaiju in my fucking Marvel. I have to get into my fucking Star Wars now. And this is coming from a fucking kaiju guy. But yeah.
Wasn't there like big snake?
Big I actually worm, thought it looked like big, a mutated. Like
I know, wasn't there a big worm thing in Star Wars before?
The yes.
Worm thing?
No, that exact creature. This isn't the first time it's appeared. It's Clone Wars?
Okay, well, I haven't seen every single episode of Clone Wars.
When they hide in the asteroid, and there's a big, isn't that a big kaiju-esque thing? The big snake thing?
For 5 seconds.
Just saying.
Not climbing at the top of a fucking tower like King fucking Kong.
Yeah, that was.
But then you, yeah. So the
see, the Clone Wars are rebels, but that's
okay. The couple things that did happen though is, however, it looks like there is a schism between the Bad Batch and
Sid.
Which, oh my God, that would just be terrible.
And they did do kind of a new, so Sid says, oh, hey, I got word of a wrecked spaceship. We can do some salvage on it and stuff like that. And we get the alien thing you know, bottle, you know, monster crawling around the wrecked spaceship type of a thing. So that was
alien-esque.
You know, it was okay. The thing that they had cloned eats energy, apparently. It's blaster-proof.
Yes.
And, yeah. So.
The energy around this table is amazing.
11 fucking episodes.
To get to the fucking stinger.
To get to a story.
Yeah. To get to the stinger from the end of last season.
Now they're going to be chasing after Bad Batch for two reasons. The
fucking story at episode 11. That was great, guys. That was great. I realized
at the end of this episode that this is like a really, 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 really bad Firefly.
You'd even mention this in the same breath as Firefly?
There are a bunch of guys who work together who have a young girl who the Empire Alliance is after. And now they gotta try to...
Fuck, dude. Yeah, holy shit.
But it's a really, really bad, bad, bad Firefly.
It should be really, 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 really good.
But it's not.
Well, they did introduce Tantus, which isn't that the big...
Tantus, they had already introduced it.
They actually named it. I don't remember hearing the name said on there on the show.
Well, it's in Clone Wars or Rebels.
Oh, okay.
But, that's from Legends. Or no, that's from the book. Heir to the Empire or some shit like that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still talking about in the... because those books don't count anymore.
Well, they do now.
Oh, do they count now again?
Well, no, they don't count. Until Filoni does something that makes them count.
And that part counts, but the rest of the book's shit.
Well, we gotta see.
It's confusing what's right. Part of Star Wars what and what's
he
not.
He keeps bringing shit in.
Yeah, I know, he does, but he picks and chooses. And so, you know, it's in here first, but yeah, that little part counts, but the rest of it, like, nah, until I decide to use it. It's kind of, this whole mixed universe.
No, you know what? He's I think that Filoni, who probably has read everything Star Wars related, yeah, he can pick and choose what he wants to make canon again.
Yeah.
And he does it a little bit at a time. He does little things that if you are as well read as he is, you will pick up and you will know then that this is...
If I get paid what he get paid, I'd be as well read as him.
Yes.
If I had incentive to read all Star Wars stuff, I would. But
what I would have loved is that they would have come to the story
a little quicker.
A little quicker instead of, like, you know what? I was talking to another person who watches this and who is a big Star Wars fan. And I was like, well, it sucked. And he's like, well, I've been really enjoying it. And I'm like,
did you ask him why?
The minimization of the Bad Batch into, let's go mine something, let's go sweep something. Hey, would you mind cleaning this up?
Yeah.
Would you?
Hey,
there's been nothing that...
Toilet overflowed over there. Go take care of that.
Somebody dropped a jar of pickles on aisle 7.
Exactly. It has been horrible as far as any kind of... It's been 10 filler episodes. It's like they did the filler episodes for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And now they're finally getting to a story. Yay.
And it's going to end in, what, 5 episodes?
Oh, not even that. I think there's
I thought there's 16 episodes.
So in 5 more episodes, it's going to end.
Yeah.
So it's like they had an idea for a story that was 5 episodes long and went, okay, and it's really good. So let's go ahead and we'll throw it in at the end because we got nothing else.
And that'll get people to come back and watch it again next season.
Yeah.
They'll forget about those first.
They'll forget about the first 10 episodes.
Except for the one with the Emperor. They'll
There's been. You know what? If you're a huge fan of the Bad Batch, this has been just a bad season. If you're not a huge fan, this has been terrible, and I'm surprised that you're still watching it. Because I'm a big Star Wars fan, and
it's pushing you to.
It pushed me.
Yeah.
To the limit. So we'll see.
I'm hoping they pull out this dive. But...
Well, like I said, they're gonna have a great story for the next five episodes, I hope. And then I don't understand why the fuck they didn't. I don't know. Okay, so that's me.
Did we want to talk any specifics in the episode? Was there any doors that you found intriguing, Brian? Or
the fact that they've they're going to clone something. They want to make her clone something.
What I was thinking was, is this the tie-in to the last three movies? Like, the Emperor wants to clone him. They're going to find out that the Emperor wants to clone himself in this?
I hope not.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, that would, you could just bring that up, because that, you know, that all took place.
I will stop watching.
I mean, that took place in Heir to the Empire. No, which one was it? Comic book. Heir to the Empire. No, Dark Empire.
I didn't.
Where he put himself in the clone body.
I'm speculating here. I really don't care. I'm just speculating. Well, I mean,
they did have the thing in Mando too. Boba Fett was Boba Fett. Mando.
Yeah. No,
get those confused now together. They had that whole facility in that, so maybe this is leading to that.
I thought that the doctor kind of annoyed me, the new doctor.
They need their evil guy, you know? I mean, why he didn't have a mustache to twist, I don't know.
But he talks like this all the time. He just talks like this.
That's because he's emotionless.
He's emotionless.
That's how he can do what he does.
It's terrible that we're erasing, or that we're not using such an incredible talent as yourself there, Camino woman. It would be great if you would, clone something with us and work with us, and we could maybe clone something.
And if you think your incarceration is intolerable, you wait to see what happens if you do not agree to help us clone.
You're putting way too much inflection into that.
Yeah, don't. Bring me the Prime Minister. So they
actually,
me,
Brian's doing it better.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. You were putting too much inflection.
Let me show her how evil we are.
I think we have much that we need to discuss.
You're going way too hard into that.
I got nothing. All right, we got five more episodes left. Maybe this goes somewhere. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea. It's the last thing I watch every week. It's my math homework.
Yeah. It's become that, and it's sad.
And that's the sad thing, is I like all the I like the concept, I like the characters. It's not doing anything.
Wasted.
For me.
Yeah.
Yep. Wasted. And wasted. Still wasted. No wasted.
Crosshairs. Crosshairs. I got it right first.
Pubic hair.
Pubic hairs.
Oh Jesus. You know. Yeah.
Take your shot.
I got up early for this.
Me too.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right, also on the Star Wars front, we had the return of The Mandalorian. And we just watched Chapter 17 entitled The Apostates. So we get to, let's see here, we find out that the covert of the armor is growing, that they were going to swear in a
youngling.
A youngling, if you will. Are younglings just Jedi younglings? Is it?
I don't know.
Or is it a youngling, like, generic, like, kid
for
kids?
I think it's just a kid.
All right, well, they're going to
family.
They're going to swear in a new Mandalorian into the Children of the Watch or whatever. Gamera attacks.
It's Crocosaurus Rex.
Crocosaurus Rex. Gamera!
Gamera's the friend to all children.
Yeah, he would not hurt the youngling.
Yeah, Din Djarin comes, saves the day, says he's going to bathe in the waters of the
Mandalorian.
The Mines of Mandalore.
The Mines of Mandalore. Not going to Game of Thrones on that, are they?
I was actually thinking Lord of the Rings.
That's what I meant, Lord of the Rings, yeah.
And then he goes to the Kalevala, which is the seat of the
the Krazi or whatever clan of the Mandalorians, where Bo-Katan's there by herself, basically. Her people took off once he got the Darksaber, and she's like, why don't you go wave it around and lead him?
That was Game of Thrones.
Like. That was very Game of Thrones. he goes to, I can't think of the name, with Greef Karga, I can't think of the name of the planet.
Carl Weatherstown.
Carl Weatherstown.
Yeah, well, he goes there. It's like, now it's like a trade hub. It's going to be independent. Carl Weathers he's not the,
He's the high magistrate.
He's not just the magistrate. He is the high magistrate.
You're right.
With he's the fucking, trying to get droids that are carrying his cape.
That was awesome. That was awesome. They do a two line explainer about Cara Dune, which I thought she deserved. And he tries to get IG-11 back to watch.
It's the only droid you trust.
Yeah, the only droid he trusts, and he gets him to, tries to get him back to watch Grogu, and
reverts back to its original programming, which is kill Grogu.
Which is a honk, because that wasn't his original programming, I'm sure.
Well, it wasn't his original.
So,
original was just stand there and look pretty.
Which is what he should have went back to, not kill Grogu.
But the first programming that they gave him was probably kill Grogu. How do you know it's the first?
He's a freaking bounty hunter droid.
Yeah, I know.
That's what that model of droid is.
I know, you create them, you give them...
Not a Terminator, but an assassin droid or something.
You give them assignments, right? That you program assignments into it. So it would revert to his last one, not his first one.
His last one was kill Grogu.
I know. It would revert back to his first one, not his last one. It didn't erase the last program that went into him.
All of a sudden, you're an expert on droid computer memory?
Fuck yeah. It doesn't make any sense. When you hit factory reset on your phone, it doesn't keep some of the phone numbers. It gets rid of everything.
Maybe they've improved that in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago.
So yeah, and I don't think.
You know what? It's a good point.
He's IG-11. That means he's before 88, probably. If you go by number order, they might not do that. It might just go pick a number, any number, pull it out of hat. So he would actually be older than the other one. So his programming would be. He would have.
How do you know it's not? They're not the same model number. Like IG is determination,
yeah.
And then it's just 1 through 100.
I know, and he's 11. The other one's 88. So the other one's
IG 88, IG 11.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
just to throw in a little trivia, as much as I love this conversation.
No, you don't.
The little kid, is Jimmy Kimmel's nephew.
What little kid?
Oh, the kid that was getting sworn in.
The little kid guy.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was going to be a flashback to
I was about to say, I thought that was great because they made it, you think it was a flashback of.
Yeah.
Darren Jin, whatever it was.
Din Djarin, or Mando. I thought Boba Fett, and I thought that was going to be Jango Fett standing on the.
Oh, see, I thought it was Mando getting sworn in.
I knew it wasn't the Fett's because the crest that they had on the banner, that was. The Fett's are a sheaf of wheat.
Ah. Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't know that.
I assumed it was. Mando.
But he also played the Tusken Raider kid in...
this kid's getting around.
Boba Fett.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like his dad's somebody. I don't know.
His uncle is Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I know. His dad's Jimmy Kimmel's brother. Yeah, I know. So that I wonder how he gets that kind of work. ABC, Disney, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. So it looks like, does it look like the big bad guys are going to be the space pirates this season, maybe? Or
No.
The space pirates may go after Grogu because there's got to be, everybody wants Grogu still, I'm sure.
I think they're just trying to get there because.
Oh, they want to get back at
him. The Mandalorian kind of screwed, killed a bunch of his guys. The pirate had a great name.
I love that Western look to it. It was Vane, was the one.
He had a great name.
But I thought him leaning up against the wall, it was like, wow, this is cool.
The effects in this show are, I think, among the best I've ever seen, except for Grogu, who still looks like a bit of a puppet to me.
Yeah. And I think that's the charm of it.
That could be the charm of it, but everything else, the makeup, the ship effects, now we're also going to throw in, because we got to talk about the Purrgil.
The Wova?
Oh. That's right. You guys didn't watch Rebels, so you don't know what the Purrgil is.
What is the Purrgil? Help us out, Brian.
Is that the
when they were flying in hyperspace.
Oh. I watched the top 10 Easter eggs that you missed in the first episode of the Mandalorian.
And you didn't get Kimmel's nephew in that top 10?
No, I didn't. But the, yes, the Purrgil are like whales that live in hyperspace, right?
Right, and they were in Rebels. And that is what took Thrawn and Ezra. Every Jedi has their own kink.
Okay.
So they showed, like, Ahsoka in that first episode of Tales of the Jedi, where she had a connection to animals.
Yeah.
Same thing as Ezra. Ezra Bridger had that same connection to animals. The Purrgil are like the Akanti in X-Men. The brood living starships.
Okay.
So they could travel at hyperspace. They, well, so Ezra Bridger does.
Are you having a stroke?
Yeah.
Ezra Bridger.
Ezra Bridger, you know, talks to him, and they're like, hey, that'd be cool. We could help you out there. And so they grab him and Thrawn and take him off into hyperspace. Poof. Which is the ending of Rebels, is Ahsoka and Sabine going to find Ezra.
Okay.
So that's where we get Ahsoka the Gray, because she's wearing gray robes. And then they leave. Which is actually years after the ending when he takes them. So where they ended up, they don't know. But that was the big deal in Boba Fett with Ahsoka saying, where's Thrawn? Thrawn's back. Where is he? Because that's going to be the
Ahsoka.
That was
last season of Mandalorian.
That was Mandalorian.
Oh, it was Mandalorian.
But then she took a break and stopped by Luke in.
That's right.
And Boba Fett.
And Boba Fett. She just goes everywhere.
She's no longer looking you for know what? Thrawn. Where's Thrawn? I'm going to go sit over here. And
yeah, well, she's got to talk to Luke because that's Anakin's son. And how cool is that? That they just threw that in there so everybody doesn't have to say, did Ahsoka ever meet Luke? Yeah. Why, yes. Yes, he did. Anyway. But that's how Rebels ends, is the Purrgil taking. So now they're showing the Purrgil. That'll be the tie-in to Ahsoka.
Okay.
I don't know that we'll ever see them again in The Mandalorian, but they did it this time.
Just to show. Yeah.
And I actually was clapping when I saw them.
Okay. Nice to know. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking?
Getting back to IG-11.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so let's...
No, I'm not even doing that. He comes and goes, can I borrow that? Okay, why didn't they actually fix him up? They need a town sheriff. Obviously, would you stay around being sheriff? Who's better to have an IG as a town sheriff?
They thought
sheriff?
He was broken.
But they took him apart. Oh, we have the best mechanic droid guys in the universe here now.
From the movies.
I know. And so why didn't they use... Why didn't they go, by the way. We have a guy who can't, more or less can't be destroyed. Took a thermal grenade and it's still in, like, only few pieces. Why is Mando the only guy who goes, hey, yeah, we can put him back together again. And where's he going to fit him in the ship?
He'll sit on the front
and shoot.
He's a droid. He can literally sit on the outside of the ship.
No,
he does that all the time with R2-D2.
As a hidden hyperdrive. No, he's not on the outside. He's inside a...
His head sticking out.
I know.
They have a pod that it goes in so that way he doesn't get thrown off when they go into hyperspace.
A fucking bungee cord.
Duct tape. They'll just duct tape around.
Who cares? Is my question. Who cares?
I do. Ruinator.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely back. You're
gonna, just one time
episode. Live action Star Wars, of course the Ruinator's back.
What do I think? I don't know. I think they're going to fuck it up.
Like you said, I think there was parts of this
the son of the Ruinator over here. What the fuck?
Parts I really liked in this, and there was parts I went, that makes no fucking sense.
On the whole, I enjoyed the episode quite a bit. Like I said, the effects I think are the best effects I've seen in Star Wars. I'm including the movies. The aliens look real. The ships look like they're flying. I mean, it doesn't look like an effect. It looks like they filmed a ship landing. I don't know what they're doing differently.
When you said the ship, I was just about to say, for some reason, that landing sequence, like, stuck out.
Yeah.
Like, holy Christ, that really looks real.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. The special effects in this... Including the aliens, the fucking Davy Jones'
uncle.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find the guy's name. He had a really good name.
Yeah.
Oh, the pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something Maximus something or other.
But also the guy who played him, and I can't remember who he is, but he's also a big star, so.
Oh, so it was like a one of those cameo deals?
No,
or whatever.
They're saying you're not going to waste a guy like that. He's coming back.
Oh, no, I you could tell this business is not done between the Mandalorian and the Space Pirates.
And I think that the funny thing was that they kept killing everybody but the one guy.
The one guy
keeps being the one who just lives. And I thought that was funny as shit. And I think that that'll be a running gag. Really enjoyed. I'm excited to see what they do with the Space Pirates. Wait, let me rephrase that. I'm excited to see how they fuck up the Space Pirates. I'm really excited to see how they fuck up the bathing in the waters of the Mandalorian mines.
Again, I think it's all going to come down to Bo-Katan beating them, just like I said last time.
She has to.
And taking the sword and it being all arranged.
She has to.
And then once she's ruler, she'll let him bathe in the fucking
water.
Where am
I getting the impression that you're not looking forward to this, Brian?
I'm not.
Okay.
Why? Can I ask?
I'm not. You know what? I've had now just a couple too many, been excited about a series that just turned out to be shit.
So now you're tempering your excitement so you don't get...
Yeah. Okay. I really am, you know, let's go back to Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Bad Batch. I'm not expecting this to go well.
I'm hoping it goes well. We all hope. Like I said, I just wish they wouldn't have brought Grogu back so fast, but that's my trust to bear.
They had to.
Because he's the reason half the people watch.
Well,
watch him hug the... No, Squeezy! No, Squeezy!
Oh, Daddy.
I actually don't mind that, the lone wolf and cub thing.
If they did it that way, I wouldn't mind it.
Well, I'm glad that he's not a fucking little baby thing that just fucking shits and eats. That's all...
He's still stealing everyone's food. Oh, food, food!
Yeah, I like that.
How come he doesn't get any bigger? Or he must leave.
He's 50.
He must leave shit.
It took him 50 years to get to that point.
He must leave shits the size of him around.
Oh, he just lifts him up.
We're actually discussing Grogu shit.
Yeah,
I'm gotta be fucking kidding me.
I am not. No, I am. I am. I am actually. You know, if there is just a point where I stop talking, forgive me. I'm willing to ride this out. This will be the...
Is this the make or break season for
you? This is the make or break for all of these. For every fucking bullshit fucking series that fucking Disney puts out. This is the make or break. If this sucks, I'm done. I'm not watching any more Marvel. I'm not watching any more Star Wars. I'm not watching any of that shit.
What about for your fans?
I give a fuck. You know what? Don't watch it either. We're done. You know what? It's you people fucking watching it that keeps us getting the shit. So why don't you fucking stop? Just stop. If they have four fucking people who watch it, they're going to go, hey, we're not making any money. So we either stop making them or we do something decent. Let's try that. Let's try that. Let's try the exciting shit that got us to this point that we could be so disappointed by the Bad Batch. We could be so disappointed by the Mandalorian. Because they did such a good job over here. And then somehow over here, they started taking drugs or they got a little too high with themselves. Or they fucking, as Leonard Skinner said, found a woman that makes them feel like they're on top of the world. You know what? Every mother's son falls. And Dave Filoni, you're on the edge. Jon Favreau, you're on the edge. Get your shit together. And fucking give us something decent. Give us something decent. Quit just fucking promising us shit and then pounding it in our ass. And I can just see you sitting in California giggling. Ha 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 ha. Well, you pack fucking episode 8 of The Bad Batch up our ass. Let's see if they keep watching. What, do you got a bet? Is that a bet? To see what we'll put up with? Oh, let's give them a story at episode 11. That's when we'll turn the story on. Well, let's see how The Mandalorian does. Let's see how they do.
Excited about Boba Fett season 2?
You know what? I won't even fucking... I'm not even going to talk about it. It doesn't exist unless, if this is shit. We've got a lot of Rebels.
What about Ahsoka? You excited about Ahsoka? You're not going to watch Ahsoka. If this sucks,
I'm not watching Ahsoka.
Bullshit.
And I will be the voice of positivity in this particular segment. Wow. I had a really shitty week. I was looking forward to this. It delivered. It did not suck. You're both wrong. I liked it. I'm looking forward to it.
I didn't say it sucked.
I didn't say it sucked either.
I didn't say it sucked. There was no, what you said was, you don't have a lot of hope for this. No, I don't. This was good.
This was a good lead into whatever
you
think.
Okay, so you're dreading the continuation of this, that this is going to go downhill.
Yes. Because this was a good episode. I clapped when I saw the Purrgil. When they went to that fucking, to Bo-Katan's house. That was in Rebels. Or Clone Wars. I mix them up. But that was, I mean, they're pulling things. They're building, rebuilding the history. It's fucking great.
It's got to be Rebels because I didn't see it.
Yeah, because I thought that was a flashback scene at the beginning. And then
that
alligator turtle thing came out. And I was like, are you fucking... And how good did that look?
Yes.
It looked fantastic. How fucking
good did that look?
My question is, why do you go do this by the water? That thing just didn't pop up there. It's been there. Let's go take everyone by the water.
And my if you want to do a was, these are the deadliest warriors in the fucking galaxy. And they're trying to fucking attack this thing with fucking... arrows with fucking ropes on the end of it, so they're attached to it.
Yeah, so you can hold it.
I know. Six of them.
Yeah.
Six of them. I counted six.
Yeah, no.
You're gonna hold that thing down. You are the stupidest.
And
fighters.
You had to know it was there. I mean, it isn't like this thing just popped up.
But you know what? Yeah, no, they knew it was there, and that's part of the hey, we're badass.
It worked out well, didn't it? Hey, we're food.
Well, at least they had turtle soup for the. Initiation banquet.
Only because Mando showed up. Otherwise, they're all dead.
All right, so...
Oh, flames are
needless off. To say, Brian is hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. Keith has become the Ruinator again. And I finally got something that I look forward to every week.
And I ruined it!
And Keith ruined it as usual. We've been talking about this one episode in Star Wars in general for 20 minutes. I'm fucking ending this segment right now!
The Three Old Geeks are now on YouTube! Check us out there, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you can't find us, stop by our Facebook page to get a link. And while you're there, drop us a line and let us know what you think of the podcast. Tune in next week, same geek time, on all your favorite apps for all new, all different material. Thanks a lot for listening, and hey, keep on geeking on.